Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Atlanta, the Hawks could end the series, and our coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. Can the Sixers recover emotionally from their Game 5 loss? ESPN's Tim Legler.
I'm very concerned that they're not going to be able to answer the bell for this one, because that was as demoralizing a turnaround as you will ever see in the NBA.
At 10 Eastern, ESPN TV and the app will have Game 6 for the Jazz and Clippers. Kawhi Leonard out for the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley Jr. questionable for the Jazz. The Clippers lead that series 3-2, and they're in search of their first ever trip to the conference finals. Dirk Nowitzki will rejoin the Mavericks as a special advisor in the front office. He'll have a role in hiring the team's new GM and coach. The Celtics today trade Kemba Walker and their first-round pick to the Thunder to get Al Horford and seven-footer Moses Brown. The teams will also swap future second-round picks.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Barton, come back with your shield or on it. That is the point of the NBA playoffs that we're out right now. Do you want to go down your way, or do you want to go down living their way? Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And if we are talking about going down the right way, then Friday here, as we try and finish off what has been a great and hectic week, we get to go down one of the best ways possible. Chinee Agwumike off today as the LA Sparks prepare for another game against the Phoenix Mercury. And so we get to hang out with one of our favorites, Trevor Scales, who you guys see is one of the great co-hosts of Sports Nation on ESPN+. Trev, what's going on, man?
Man, not too much. Just holding things down. For Chinee, as you mentioned, always a pleasure to join y'all. Kick it with you for a few hours, bro. So I'm excited to get right to it, dog.
I know. I'm excited because we got a lot going on right now. Cole Beasley is still tweeting furiously in the NFL, which means we get to talk about that at some point here. Everyone, try and do your best to preserve your peace on this Friday, but we will do our best to sort through this and let you know why this is reflective of a little more of what we may see until training camp in the NFL based on some changes in policy. Trev, we also have to get to at some point, man. You and I, the last time that we were on this show together was before the Philadelphia series against the Atlanta Hawks. I said Sixers in seven. You said Hawks in seven. And I feel like now this is feeling pretty. Oh, wait, was that the Knicks series?
That was the Knicks series.
That we were on. Oh, man. Yeah. So, you know what? We still have a lot to unpack then, because I need the Atlanta psyche to weigh in on the current situation, man. Here.
Let me tell you. God bless.
But you know what, Trev? Speaking of psyche, I want to start here first with what we saw last night, because the Milwaukee Bucks have forced a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Brooklyn Nets. They win in Game 6, and we talked about off the top, going out with your shield or on it, that old Spartan line from the movie 300. And last night, what we saw, in addition to a dominant shooting performance from Chris Middleton, was Giannis Antetokounmpo go back to what everyone knows he does well. No three-point attempts last night. So many of his shots in the restricted area. I think his average shot distance was about 5.5 feet. And so, Trevor, when you watched that performance last night, is this Giannis figuring it out? Is this him simplifying it? Or is this just the desperation that comes with an elimination game?
Yes, both in that sense. But also it's a team mechanic, too, where they recognize where they need to be offensively. And that's in transition, that's easy buckets for Giannis, and it's him staying his behind down low. Like, that's where he finds success, and there's nothing wrong with that, especially in the sense of you're not expecting him to pull out and sort of get out outside of the arc and make some things happen at a high clip. That is a brother that can go down there and work. The Milwaukee Bucks wound up winning the transitional offense game by a large margin. 28-7 in transition points for them. That is the highest mark that they've reached this postseason. You combat that with the idea that they aren't built necessarily to go through the half-court offense in the way that is going to succeed in the postseason when you get to scheme up Giannis in the way that most teams get to in a potentially seven-game series. So let him work in the full court. Just run, get down to the paint, quick buckets, get his confidence up, and pray he doesn't have to go to the free throw line.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. And that's the mental part of all of this, because this series has felt like, and this could be a lot of the postseason, right? We're going to have a similar conversation with Ben Simmons about operating within your limitations and what we are allowed to expect from players who we've very clearly seen, like Giannis, like Ben Simmons, who have a skill set that's got a limit right now. And that limit tends to be further and further back from the basket. And that's why Giannis got a lot of these questions about shooting threes early in the series. It's why last night, and we can listen to him right here in their post-game press conference, Giannis Antetokounmpo talking about no three-point attempts last night and what went into that.
I was just trying to be aggressive, get downhill, make the right play. I think there was maybe one or two plays that I was open in the three-point line that I could shoot it, but still, I still wanted to, I felt like I could go downhill. But, this game I didn't shoot any three, maybe next game I shoot a couple. I don't know how it's going to go. You know, I can't predict the future, but what I know is that, I enjoy the game when I'm aggressive, when I can get downhill, when I can get my teammates involved, and when I play to my strength. That's when I enjoy the game the most.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Trevor, he can say all of the right things, and he will. Giannis is well-versed in all of this, but what we saw early in the series looked like a guy trying to play the part that he believes everyone needs him to play in this. At the free throw line, he looks like a guy going through it, trying to respond to all this. Now, last night, he at least responded to the pressure in a way that's admirable. He went back to the things that he does well. He did them at a dominant level, and it helped give his team a win. But are we getting to the point now where he might be feeling too much of the pressure, or really every ounce of the pressure the outside world's been throwing at him?
And I think it goes back to a discussion that me, you, and Fitz actually had the last time I was around here about the amount of pressure that is placed not only on the shoulders of Giannis, but that Bucks organization. There is a tense nature surrounding them right now, given the fact that Brooklyn is as hurt as they are. They recognize what they need to do in this series, and that's win it. Because if Brooklyn's not at full strength you have to, as the proverbial favorites in that conference, find a way to win this series. Like, you cannot mess around and leave yourself by the wayside and looking at this as an opportunity that went by missed. There's so much riding on his shoulders every time it feels like he steps to the free throw line that it's so apparent. As you said, he's taking time that is just unnecessary, where when he first came into the league, we were having this discussion. It seemed like it was just easy for him due to the fact that he had zero expectations placed on him. Now these expectations are coming into play. He's getting in these conversations about top five players in the league, and with that, you have to be honed in on so many different parts of that craft. And one of those things, evidently for him, that causes a hitch is free throw shooting. And that's where it kind of manifests itself when it gets to that head of pressure in the tightest of moments.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting to look back at the regular season from that lens, because Giannis signed that deal in the offseason largely to avoid all of those conversations about his future, those things coming up every time the Bucks hit a rough patch in the season, and so we kind of left them alone, and then we got back to this time of year where they had struggled, and you see some of that start to manifest. Like, I jokingly called him Giannis DeChambeau yesterday because he's taken so long to line up shots that James Harden played the part of Brooks Koepka, frustrated at the foul line, trying to watch this guy take all of that time to go through things. But it also starts to show up because you're seeing the conversations on a lot of these young stars who are starting to get time under task in the postseason shift a little bit. And Kendrick Perkins, our ESPN NBA analyst, was on First Take today and went to the place that I think is always going to be the uncomfortable conversation for players who are a little offensively challenged when it comes to shooting. Said Giannis, in the Bucks situation of star players, looks like the Robin and not the Batman. Take a listen.
What Giannis proved to me last night is that he's a certified Robin, and that's okay, because Chris Middleton is the Batman of that team, and he showed us that last night with the epic performance that he put on last night in a must-win situation. When it mattered the most, Chris Middleton was the one carrying the throne when Brooklyn was making that run, when they cut it into two. The ball was in Chris Middleton's hands. So what Giannis showed me last night is that, hey, I could do this long as I don't have to be the go-to guy when it matters the most.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And Trev, that sounds like a diss, and I think in some ways we know attacking those power structures on the duos is always going to be a kind of hard thing to read. But it's also the understanding that, yes, we as a public, I think largely when it comes to these conversations, put most of our eggs in the offensive basket when we have these conversations. Right now with Giannis, some of this came up in Game 5 when we talked about who is he defending down the stretch of these games. But if you've got at this point an understanding of who Giannis is as a player, you're not wanting to force him in situations that are outside of him, then the only choice in some of these spots is to give the ball in offensive sets to the more versatile offensive weapon in Chris Middleton. As unsavory to these conversations as it is, I don't know if many people are going to realistically say Chris Middleton is a better basketball player than Giannis Antetokounmpo when you consider them overall, but with what he's able to do and when you need it done, it's hard-pressed to say that the ball shouldn't find his hands in some of these clutch situations because he's got more options to his offense.
Yes, to all of that, right? Like, the idea of him being more versatile, absolutely. The idea that he is the option that you go to for the sake of, you can't just allow him to turn a corner, and you can't bet on Giannis Antetokounmpo to have some sort of package in his bag where he can take the ball and just go score. We saw clips all over Twitter where he was trying to pull the ball back out at towards the free throw line, make a couple crossovers, and nobody was fooled by anything that that brother was doing. But we don't have to do the Batman and Robin thing as far as just automatically naming Chris Middleton Batman courtesy of his offensive versatility. Because Giannis is still averaging like 30-13. Chris Middleton is a nice, like he is a nice little 24-9, and I want to respect that. But again, versatility does not equate to better. There may be a difference in wanting to have someone take the ball over in late game situations, but that doesn't take away from the fact that what Giannis does defensively. Kevin Durant was 1-for-4 with 2 turnovers when Giannis was the primary defender. That speaks to just how all around Giannis affects the games. He understands the assignment when it comes into play, but when you know you can only put him in certain situations, yes, that shifts the idea of him being able to take over offensively, but it doesn't knock him down to a sidekick versus the guy. He's still a half billionaire, so he's absolutely closer to Wayne in that sense.
Yeah, that is very true. Batman, very, very rich, right? Which is why he can do all that stuff anyway. He's not a real superhero. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in Saturday for Game 7 as DeAndre Jordan and the Nets host Bobby Portis and the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. But coming up next, let's look at the other season in the Eastern Conference here. Is there any pressure that started to shift now that Atlanta seems to have been able to reverse the citywide curse? We'll get to that next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, in for Janae Agumake today, and we roll out the red carpet for our guests. You usually see Trevor on ESPN Plus co-hosting Sports Nation, but here he is holding it down. Trev, what are the nerves like, man, being an Atlanta-based fan of most things, watching, like, you guys are having success right now, playing with house money here. Have any nerves started to creep into this situation?
Listen, I go into every situation with Atlanta sports with a cynical mindset. It's best for my health, right? I go in there assuming everything will fall apart inevitably. Like, I just kind of have to have that. It's a defense mechanism of sorts, because I love watching this team in the Atlanta Hawks. It is so dang fun between the mentality that they carry out there and the style of play that they frankly have. But dog, I done been through too much heartbreak to sit here and act like I'm going to be excited. I'm going to just wait for the heartbreak, and if it never comes, bet. I'm cool with it, but I'm protecting myself.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know what, but that's what we have to do as fans, as people outside of the arena and these things, and so why don't we get some help from someone who has been inside of the arena for a lot of the teams still competing in the postseason right now. A 7-time NBA All-Star Joe Johnson joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Joe, before we get to Atlanta, one of the teams that you spent time with here in their spot in the postseason, we just got a big win from Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks last night to force this to Game 7 here. From what you've seen in Giannis in this postseason, where is he at in his development as far as being the kind of player you can win a championship in this league with?
I think he's, you know, trending in the right direction. I think he's still learning, you know, throughout this process, throughout this series. He's, you know, finding out, you know, how he can, you know, leave his imprint on the game. And I'm looking forward to this Game 7, man. I think this will be one for the ages.
Gotta be. Absolutely has to be, just because of the propensity of both of these teams offensively. But Joe, look, you were part of a few Atlanta Hawks teams that reached Eastern Conference semifinals, this same exact round that the Hawks found themselves in. May not have had the expectations similarly to the Atlanta Hawks teams that we're watching today. What is it like, pressure-wise to understand that you may not be expected, you may not be expected to make this leap, but within the your own locker room, I'm sure there is an expectation to succeed to a certain measure.
Oh yeah, I think the Hawks, I think they definitely believe in themselves. You can tell by in their play. You know, they've been down big and came back in this series, and in Atlanta, it's tough to come in there and win, man, because the city really does come out for, you know, events like this, the playoffs, and the support system that their young team is going to have behind them is going to be valuable, man, and I think it's going to help.
What sticks out most to you about Trae Young, who has absolutely made this star turn during this postseason run for Atlanta?
He's been great. You know, he's trying to find his spots when he can be aggressive offensively, not only making plays for himself, but, you know, for his teammates as well. And I think, you know, him and Clint Capella and John Collins, those guys are perfect fits, because he runs that pick and roll, and he got the floater. If you step up for the floater, he throws a lob, and he's been deadly. So, like I say, man, this is going to be a great game for these guys.
What is it like in these situations? We've seen it now twice from Atlanta, having to go down big and just sort of stay the course. It may not necessarily be a situation where you believe it is inevitable that you will win the entire time, but it is an understanding that, hey, we're still in this regardless of what the margin is at this point.
Well, you got to stay positive. You got to try to just keep chipping away. And when you're down big like that, you just want to, you know, ring together 3-4 stops, get a couple buckets, and, you know, somehow, some way, try to get back in the game. And, you know, fortunately enough for them, for those guys, you know, they've been great at that, you know, throughout this series.
Talking to 7-time NBA All-Star Joe Johnson with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Joe, on the other side of the court for that, you got Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and the 76ers team that were the one seed in the Eastern Conference, had so much expectation, but we've seen some limits for Ben Simmons struggling from the free throw line, them going to the hack a Ben technique. When you're a player on an opposing team and you hone in on a weakness like that for a player who's supposed to be a star for the other team, what does that do for you guys mentally?
Well, for Ben, man, I think he just has to relax, go out there and play, be aggressive, take the shot if it's there. Hey, you can miss or make it. But I think for Philly, you know, Ben Simmons has to be aggressive, man, and get those guys some help. I mean, Embiid's doing what he can, but, you know, he's banged up. So, you know, they got to have other guys, you know, Tobias Harris, those guys have to step up, man, and help carry their team.
Speaking of Embiid, right, it's been interesting to watch him because for two games straight now, he's come out the gates firing, like just clicking on all the cylinders. And then we see in the second half a bit of a drop-off, which is understandable given the meniscus tear that we've talked about and generally fatigue setting in. Is there a level of personal management that he needs to do? Is it a coach that needs to kind of adjust his minutes to kind of give him a little bit more gas down the stretch? What do you do in the case of Embiid? Because it seems like the Sixers go as he goes.
Yeah, I just think it's a tough situation because that meniscus is probably hard for him to, you know, do cardio to try to, you know, stay in great shape or even in decent shape. But I think that's why in the second half you kind of see him kind of tell off a little bit because it's just fatigue, man. And, you know, right now it's just a tough situation, an unfortunate situation for those guys. And you just got to try to find some way to battle through it, man.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of great shape and continuing to go at it, you're playing in the Big Three season coming up again now. So how do you stay in shape for all this? Like, what's that like, you know, after your NBA playing career, still getting up, still getting ready for this?
Well, my kids keep me going. My son's 14, my daughter's 7. So it ain't no, you know, there's no relaxing. It's full throttle. So just being with them alone, man, just keeps me going, keeps me young, and keeps me active.
Have you been beaten by the 14-year-old yet in basketball?
Nah, man, come on. I'm over here teaching. Don't teach me that.
Man, just ask it.
I can say journalists got to ask the question over there. No, I believe it. It's got to be a lot of fun, though, and we're looking forward to watching that again. Certainly, we're looking forward to watching the rest of this postseason play out. Joe, we appreciate you giving us some time today, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all. Namaste.
Joe Johnson, again, 17-year NBA vet, spent time, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Utah, Phoenix, a lot of the teams that we're seeing in the postseason right now. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. All right, coming up next, we talked a lot about the 76ers here, and I asked the question yesterday, and I'll ask it again. What are we allowed to expect from Ben Simmons? I'll tell you at least what it costs so far, what we've seen in this series, next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Doug Brown, we've got a Game 6 doubleheader with coverage starting at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. 76ers and Hawks with Atlanta going for the clincher at home. Then TV and the app will have Jazz and Clippers, with the Clippers leading 3-2, but Kawhi Leonard out tonight. Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley Jr. questionable for the Jazz. Dirk Nowitzki is back with the Mavericks, this time in the front office as a special advisor. ESPN's Bobby Marks.
When you have a franchise player in Luka, you better do everything possible to make sure he's there for the foreseeable future.
Bobby Marks on Greeny. Nowitzki will help the team hire a new GM and coach. The Thunder get Kemba Walker and a first-round pick in a trade with the Celtics. Boston gets Al Horford and Moses Brown. ESPN's Tim Bontemps reports the Thunder will try to move Walker to another team. Second round play today at the U.S. Open. Richard Bland holds the lead right now at 5-under. He's one shot ahead of Louis Oosthuizen and Russell Henley, who just started his second round.
On this show the other day, we had to have a conversation about Juneteenth because of something unfortunate that a pro sports team did with a graphic. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to have a much more enlightened conversation about this as we get close to June 19th this weekend, what it means, and actually the place where this discussion and celebration began. Shanae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We'll talk to an NFL player that has spoken up and spoken out about this very day. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales here. Trev, at some point we also got to get to this Waffle House business, because I don't know if everyone is fully available, but yesterday was a very viral thread of a man who apparently lost a fantasy football league, and as a result of that, had to spend 24 hours inside of a Waffle House down in, I believe this was in Alabama. Am I getting that one
Mississippi,
right?
Mississippi.
He was in a Waffle House in Mississippi for 24 hours, and the rules of engagement were that for every waffle that he ate, he got to knock an hour off his time in there. He ultimately ended up downing 9 waffles and spending 15 hours inside of that Waffle House, documenting the experience along the way on Twitter. We are efforting him right now. I've sent him a DM. We've reached out to him. We've had official guest booking people here at ESPN spending their time trying to get this Waffle House man on our radio here. But we're going to have a conversation about that, because I think there are a number of places that I am uniquely able to go and spend 24 hours inside successfully, Trev.
I respect that. I do. But like, I also don't want to... We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that, look, for those of you thinking that you could just take down 12 waffles, I believe Mike Golic Jr. when he says he can. Most of y'all? No. Those things are different, I promise you.
Yeah, no, listen, I can say they are built different, like very thick waffles, very dense waffles. There's a discussion to be had around this, and believe me, this show is going to do the journalistic work and have that discussion. But we've also got the NBA playoffs going on ESPN Radio tonight. Game 6 as Kevin Huerter and the Hawks host George Hill and the Sixers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And Trev, I want you to take us inside the Atlanta psyche heading into this game right now, because Atlanta and good things in sports generally don't tend to last long and generally don't tend to end well. And so this 3-2 lead heading into a Game 6 with a chance to close out the one seed in the Eastern Conference, how is Atlanta collectively feeling right now?
There is a air about the city, across my timeline, frankly. It's pure joy, with like an undercurrent of understanding that this probably gonna go left sooner than later, right? Like, there's just that understanding when it comes to being a fan of any franchise that comes out of that city. And frankly, we can extend that out to Athens, Georgia, because they got some of that work too. Yeah. But there is still an excitement. I don't want to take away from the pure joy that that Hawks team is bringing to the city of Atlanta, because it feels as though there are so many different fan bases that can latch on to it, right? It's Falcons fans like, hey, we got one. Let's just see what we got here. Braves fans who lost a 3-1 series lead say, you know what? Hey, we can get excited. We can root for these cats. And Atlanta United, the lone champions in that city right about now, has always been ready to root for any and everybody that comes out of that city. But they have even more invested in this one because, again, it's not just that they're exceeding expectations. It's the clear mentality that permeates throughout that roster, all the way down to Red Velvet that you mentioned in the promo, right? Like, Kevin Herter is a guy that you can expect a certain level of confidence from every single time he lets that ball fly out of his hands. And so Trae Young being the villain that he is, Clint Capela coming out and calling out the fatigue of an MVP caliber player and saying that we can work with that. It's just this understanding that they as a franchise are playing with house money, and it comes out on the floor the way that they're loose. They're out there just trying to make whatever they can shake, and it's something you can easily root for.
Yeah, well, I think especially because of Trae, right? And you pointed out all those guys in that team, all that permeates from Trae. Like, you know this, you played football, for anyone that doesn't know, Trevor Scales, former Harvard running back. Like, when you got a dog on your team, when you have someone who's certified, bona fide, and you know, I can count on clutch moments, that makes everybody else's life a lot easier. Like, it always has a trickle-down effect. That's what makes the 76ers conversation on the other side so compelling, Trevor, because what we have seen in this series has become abundantly clear. We've had similar conversations about Giannis. But what Giannis at least showed us in Game 6 last night was, when it comes down to it, I'm not going to be afraid to still go out there and do the things that I do. That's been the beef with Ben Simmons right now, is not that, all right, we're attacking his lack of desire or willingness or ability to shoot from outside. It was that in the last two games, there have been zero field goal attempts in the fourth quarter. Like, just to give you guys an idea, he had 4 field goal attempts in the last game, did Ben Simmons, in Game 5 of this series. That comes down to, based on when you look at his salary and break down what he made through the course of this year, just a little over $30 million, if you break it down by game and by shot, he made $93,000 an attempt during that game and only gave you about $181,000 worth of buckets. And when you're looking over at him and Tobias Harris, if you're Joel Embiid, I don't know how you walk out of that arena without yakking. Like, it's just a difficult thing, Trev, but once you see it enough times, man, it's got to be hard to count on those guys, because I picked Philadelphia to win. I still think this is the better team and that they should win, but I have just no ability at this point to willingly buy into or trust that Ben Simmons is going to do anything other than what I've seen so far. I can't count on him.
Dog, Seth Curry and Joel Embiid were the only two Sixers players that hit a field goal in the second half of Game 5. That tells you everything just about that offense and what it takes to get it going. Like, that's how you lose a 26-point lead. You have two players on the floor that are actually making shots. And God bless Tobias Harris for trying to make some shake on his own accord. But again, the lack of willingness of Ben Simmons to sort of take over has to be alarming. And not only take over, there's almost like I struggle with assigning this word to him, but it feels like there's an arrogance within his game that prevents him from being willing to expand the skill set. He's so comfortable in what he does extremely well that it almost appears as though he refuses to change, despite what the critics may throw out there as far as what could help him become the perennial superstar that we expected him to be right off the rip.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest difference here, is we don't know if it's can't or won't, right? When it comes to Ben Simmons being willing to expand this game, but there's a frustration, you're right. My favorite thing in sports is earned arrogance. Like, I love when dudes that can ball go out here and remind everybody that they can ball, but then we get to a certain point, and this is the point we're finding right now, where he's got the perfect foil right on his own team. Joel Embiid, in the face of injury and everything else, has gone out there and performed in the way that we'd expect a superstar player to. And then you've got back-to-back outings of single-digit points for the guy on the team who was supposed to be the other version of that. And so now you've got an uncomfortable position where I still, when I look at that basketball team and the way it's constructed, even with Doc Rivers and all these epic collapses that are on his resume, even understanding the limitations of Ben Simmons, I say this team should still win, because it's been at stretches the better, more talented basketball team, but it has given up some famously lopsided collapses in this series. And to try and make sure you fend that off again, I can either bet that Ben Simmons is going to give you a little more something, or that they're going to find another way to collapse. collapse. We will see which way that ends up turning out to be. We got plenty more time to get into Ben Simmons, Waffle House, and everything in between. But coming up next, we have a day coming up this weekend that I think even after this last year, a lot of people still might have questions or might not know enough about. One NFL player is going to stop by and help explain Juneteenth to everybody who needs it. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales in for Jhené Egwumike today as she gets ready for the Sparks' next game against the Phoenix Mercury. And today is June 18th. Tomorrow is June 19th, or more commonly known as Juneteenth, a holiday which really, I think, in the last year for a lot of people just came into their consciousness. But it is by no means the beginning of this day or what it means. And for some help on that, we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline right now, where Kelvin Beachum joins us now, Arizona Cardinals offensive lineman heading into year 10 in the NFL. And Beach, we appreciate the time today, man. And I know for a lot of people, like I mentioned, Juneteenth and the idea and this day and what it means entered a lot of people's consciousness in a big way in this last year. But I understand for you, this is something that's always been a part of your life, correct?
Yes, sir. Without question, man. Thanks for having me on. But man, if you're from Texas, you know about Juneteenth. It's been something that's been celebrated in Texas for many, many years. The way in which I learned about it was through ancestry, so grandparents, great-grandparents, passed it down to my parents, and that was just a way of life. So it's great to see it getting national recognition, but Juneteenth has been something that we've celebrated in Texas for a very long time.
When it comes to how it's been presented in public, I find it fascinating that the instant parallel is Independence Day, but in more cases than not, at least personally, I relate it more to like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, in that the day on, not day off semblance of how you appreciate the holiday. How has that been received down in Texas over the course of your life?
I mean, it's a celebration. You know, it's an extended celebration. You know, I wouldn't say that it's one day. It's the 10th that we end up celebrating. You know, there's family that comes down. There's a lot of cooking that goes on. You know, in Texas, barbecue is the big thing, so it's a lot of barbecuing that's going on. It's a time of celebration, a time of remembrance, a time of realizing what our ancestors went through to be able to provide, you know, what we would hope to see United States of America.
Kelvin Beachum with us here, NFL veteran, Arizona Cardinals offensive lineman, wrote an op-ed about Juneteenth and its origins that's on NFL.com right now that you guys can check out and read. And Beach, what motivated you to write this? What was the biggest point that you wanted to get across to people who would be reading about this, some of whom, like you mentioned, outside of Texas, maybe for the first time?
You know, for me, I wanted to bring light to what happened and what happened, especially kind of near my hometown, Comanche Crossing, which used to be a very, very huge meeting point for a lot of people in Texas. And it was kind of weird, man. My sister got married Memorial Day weekend, and my uncle was there. We were just shooting the bull, just talking. And somehow we got on Comanche Crossing in Juneteenth. And one of his classmates that ended up passing away in an incident, you know, there at Juneteenth, you know, due to some policing and people, you know, just being mistreated during that time of our society. So, you know, felt that it was necessary to bring light and bring awareness to, you know, what went on in my hometown, some of my childhood experiences, and also the history that's, you know, somewhat tapered with tragedy that also happened during this weekend. So, man, this is a great time for people around the country to realize how important this weekend is. To people that were enslaved and the ancestors that were enslaved here in America. But it's also a time of celebration and a time to reflect on how far we've come as a country, but also how far we still have to go as a country.
I imagine that it's a different dynamic as we bring it into the mainstream, this holiday at large, because this felt in large part like a black holiday. This was something that was a black holiday at its inception and has since blown up into a one for the masses. So how do you incorporate white folks in this and other people of color in this as it becomes more mainstream?
Well, I wouldn't even say it's mainstream. It's American history that's been left out. And I would, you know, dare to say that it's something that America needs to realize actually happened. This is not some factual myth. This is not something that was made up or pulled out of thin air. This is American history. There used to be slaves in America. And the Emancipation Proclamation extended, you know, the rights of slaves to now be free. That actually happened here in America, whether people want to believe that or not. So I wouldn't say that it's this black holiday. Yes, it freed black people, but this is also American history. And I think that we as Americans, whether white, black, blue, green, Jewish, you know, Italian, whatever ethnicity you're from, you have to realize if you're in America, this is American history. This is not, you know, just a black thing. It's American history.
You guys can check out the entire op-ed on NFL.com. Again, Kelvin Beachum, Arizona Cardinals offensive lineman, penning that op-ed, talking about Juneteenth, his hometown, and what this holiday should mean as a part of American history, like you just so eloquently put it. Kelvin, we appreciate the time today, man. Best of luck with everything as you get ready for the upcoming NFL season, and hopefully we'll get to talk some ball with you closer to then.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan. Take care.
Kelvin Beachum, kind enough to give us some time here on the Goodyear Hotline. And Trev, I think it's a great point. Like, these are things that for so often when we talk about this, when we talk about some of the other elements of history that have been brought up over the last years and not taught, that are part of American history but have just been excluded, now finally just getting invited to the party for the first time, really.
Yeah, it's the balance between celebration and remembrance, right? It's that fine line that you have to find in order to appreciate the holiday for what it is, but also make sure it's not blown out what the reason it how it all came to its inception.
Yep, I was going to say it's important to acknowledge the realities and not just, oh, we've got a day that's a holiday, that's a celebration, to remember what actually is a part of that and what goes into that. A lot to digest there. We will make the switch back to the world of sports next and what Paul George has ahead of him. Getting ready to go on in the Staples Center right outside here next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.